Hey everybody, this is Lady Buddha. I've been off the grid just a bit. I've been recovering from surgery, so I did not join the ladies as they taped this week. I do hope to join next week if I'm feeling up to it. But for now, I want you to enjoy episode 120 of Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine featuring Sojo and Miss Smart. Sweet life of mine.
Welcome to episode 120 of Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. I am one of your co-hostesses, Miss Think Smart. And with me, I have, what's her name? I don't know. Sojo.
Oh, Jesus. He's so shady. Just start out shady.
You want to tell the people your name or no?
I wanted you to tell the people my name.
I did. Sojourner Verdad.
Thank you,
God. Of the Southern Verdads.
Right. The countryside of the Verdads. Verdad clan. Uh-oh.
Do you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, because I just lost the little... here it is. Because, you know, I'm on this Mac, and you know what? Let me just get my mouse. Because all that...
You are doing the most this evening. Y'all didn't hear her trying to set up her stand, and it sounded like World War III was taking place.
Well, you don't know my life. Maybe it is World War III. No, I live in a dodgy, mixed neighborhood. Dodgy neighborhood, but considering my neighbors are currently singing gospel beside me.
They're trying to bring you over to the light. God is trying to tell you something. In the juke joint.
Listen, in summary, I didn't have the heart to call the police on Jesus. So, anyway, and then I was wondering, it's Tuesday, so why would they be having choir rehearsal on Tuesday? Everybody knows it's supposed to be Thursdays and Saturdays.
So you're obviously not from the South, because Wednesdays.
It's Bible study.
Yes, but Bible study gets crunk. Y'all ain't had praise and worship before Bible study?
But this is Tuesday.
It's a Thanksgiving weekend, so I mean, they might be traveling on Thursday.
That's true. They might have something popping off, but they're pretty good too, but it's just a matter of I like to go to sleep and I like to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so where is our third?
Our third is recovering from surgery. She's been tweeting about it. And I think she's going to do a pre-roll before the show to kind of give everybody an update. But she is recovering very well. For those of you who were worried about Lady Buddha, she's all good. She's acting obnoxious. She's one of those like obnoxious post-op people. Like in WhatsApp, she's using a lot of exclamation points. It's like 2:00 in the morning. She's sending messages. Like, I don't know if it's the drugs or what. But she's good. She's good. She'll be back next time.
Can you hear me?
I can. Say something else.
Something else?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, I was trying to, my mouse wasn't connecting and well, forget it. Battery's probably out.
Anyway. I would like to point out that when y'all used to blame me for breaking the internet, to the audience, it is not me this time. I am comfortably curled up on my couch.
And we're at show 120. And so I've broken it. If this is my third time breaking it, you've probably broken it 9 to 12 times. So
I got
to
bring up old shit. I mean, we're not talking.
This anyway.
Is new.
Anyway, if you are listening, thank you very much. Go ahead and hit the share button on whatever service you're using to hear us. Feel free to share us with all of your peeps and give us a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher or Podomatic or I don't know. Do they get 5 stars on Podomatic or just comments?
Comments on Podomatic so far. Podomatic is plugging people to do 5-star reviews for them on iTunes. So.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Yeah, for their app on iTunes. So.
Mm.
But yeah, I like the comments that we've been getting on Podomatic though.
Well, speaking of which, do we have any feedback that you are able to read to the people?
We do have feedback. We actually have a couple of things. First of all, we do want to tell you guys that you can donate to the show, through PayPal. We do have that option on our site, and I wanted to go ahead and give a shout out to Leonard Brothers from the Look and Listen podcast, because he actually donated to us actually week before last. But we had the Being Mary Jane thing, so we didn't get a chance to thank him for that last time we shared. So I just wanted to thank him for his contribution, because we had to increase our bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot more listens lately, especially one particular show. We don't know how or where or who has been sharing it, but it's got like 13,000 hits. So, yeah, we had to increase our stuff. So that really came in timely. To pay the bills around here. We also have a 5-star review from Virgo Beauty Gina G, and she always tweets us and she shares the show and stuff. So it was really cool seeing her 5-star review. She says, "Okay, I'm already following you on Twitter. It feels like I know you all. Love, love, love the content. Content is relevant and the different views are thought-provoking. Also, the confidence and authenticity in each of you shines. Keep up the great work. Always looking forward to another episode. Smiley face." So thank you. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Let's see. And then the last thing we have is an email that was sent in from Ruth. Ruth, before we start, we are going to say there is a part of your email that Buddha is going to follow up with when she returns to the show, which may be next week. So we're going to go ahead and read it and kind of get.
Wait, let me pause. I'd like the audience to know that Sojo has been trying to bully Buddha into taping all day. And Buddha has not agreed that she's coming back next week. So essentially, Mary Jane, that if she puts it out there into the ether, then Lady Buddha will have no choice but to do it.
Oh my gosh, she specifically said, she's the one that said, "I'm going to record the pre-roll and say that I'm going to answer the follow-up when I come back." So. Now, I may have given some encouragement for her, to return soon.
Bully.
I don't call it bullying. I call it encouragement.
Mm. Okay.
She really did say she wanted us to stick a pin in the question because she wanted to answer the second part of it. Okay, this is from Ruth. She says, "Hello, ladies. First and foremost, I absolutely love your show. I listen to you during my morning runs. It's a great way to get my mind off the burn in my legs. I've heard you talk about choosing your careers, changing jobs, and knowing when enough is enough. I think I'm reaching that point. I am 27 years old and have a degree in management from, and I'm not going to say her school. One of my greatest regrets is not pursuing a degree in something like sociology, gender studies, etc. One of my favorite elective courses in undergrad was Women in War in Eastern Europe. I live for this course, and in the midst of operations, finance, and boring computer science courses, it was the only class I was excited about. That should have been my first clue as to what I wanted to do with my life. Well, here I am about 5 years after graduation, and I feel stuck. I've worked in associate positions in philanthropy for most of my time since graduation, but the foundation world is so small. I first started a foundation in Boston and now working with the foundation in the Midwest. The only way to move out of an associate role into an officer or more senior role is to wait until someone retires or for someone to resign. I find myself bored most days and I get the feeling that I'm at a dead end type career path. Like right now, actually, I'm sitting at my desk staring at the screen and wondering what I could have done differently. I have a passion for social change and enjoy reading and engaging. I see myself as a writer, maybe a researcher or a professor. I just want to spend my time reading, writing, and talking with others about what I'm reading and writing. LOL. Hope that made sense, but how do I get paid for it? I realized maybe 2 or 3 months ago that my dream job would be teaching at the collegiate level. I could also see myself at a community college, but I don't even know how to begin this journey. Is this wishful thinking? Is it too late? Again, love the podcast. I look forward to hearing your responses. Thanks, Ruth." And we were going to table the part about teaching at the collegiate level, because that's Buddha's kind of like, part of expertise or whatever. But Smart, what were your first thoughts about what she wrote?
Well, my first thoughts is that no, it's not too late. It's never too late. If you're sitting at work bored, you can start to do your own thing. Now, mm-hmm. I'm assuming that since you're at, what is it called? Like an association or something? What does she call it? A foundation? Since you're there, they probably don't have the most sophisticated web monitoring tools.
Right.
So you could actually sit there and run an entire business. You know, and you can have a business without any brick and mortar. Just make sure all your paperwork is together. You can do that. And even if they do have sophisticated web monitoring activity, just befriend the IT guy or get your own internet card and plug it in and do what you want to do during that time. And I say this having done similar things myself. Obviously, you know, I can only focus on things for 3 months at a time, but maybe you can, you know, do something for more than 3 months at a time. But yeah, don't waste your time just because you're sitting there being bored. You don't have to be bored. You can entertain yourself with things that are important to you.
Mm-hmm. And I was cluing in on the part where she says where she found her passion, the classes she was most excited about. And, you know, it's funny when she's talking about she's 27 years old and feeling stuck. And I'm like, girl, if you're only 27, abort mission. Like, it's not too late. Like, you're not even 30. I mean, you know, if think about it like this, look at where you want to be in 20 years, maybe even at our age at 40 or whatever, and look at the path where you are. And if that's not the direction that you see yourself on, it's not too late to change that direction. Now, you may have to keep the job that you're at in order to pay the bills. And again, Ms. Smart gave some very, very good and sound advice about being able to hustle on the side while you're also paying the bills. But if you want to read, if you want to write and all of those things, there's so many people that have done just that. And so don't feel like you're stuck where you are. You can always start out small doing things that you want, you know, today. So, you know, you don't sound crazy at all. You know, we definitely we understand it ourselves because we have conversations about that all the time. You know, so good luck to you.
You ever wonder why the more creative things and the things that help people don't pay very much?
I think that's by design.
Absolutely by design. And I think that maybe, you know, her generation and generations to follow can be those generations that sort of make an effort to even the playing field. You know, we pay so much for our entertainers. And by entertainers, I mean like our sports people and our actors and actresses. We also pay a lot for people who come up with certain technological innovations, but we don't pay a lot to people who just help people.
You know, the funny thing too that you talk about this is that the beauty of their generation is that they are starting to do things and they're starting to monetize things that we never would have even thought about. Mm-hmm. So there are ways that she can, you know, because I've seen the millennials like think outside the box and just do some sort of things. And they have, you know, it's funny that she says she's feeling stuck. But when I look at their generation, they seem to have a sort of freedom that our parents didn't necessarily share with us coming up. And so, you know, just ride on that. Like, don't feel like you're stuck. I don't want, especially since she's so young, I don't want her to feel like she has to keep going because she's gotten an education in a particular area. I have a line sister that has a law degree and her passion is photography. And so she has a photography business and that's where she shines. Like, that's when you can see, whoa, that's what she needs to be doing, you know? And so just don't feel stuck. Just get out of it.
One other thing I want to point out when we're talking about millennials and what they're able to do, I often hear people as young as their early 30s saying millennials are lazy. They're this, they're that, and the third, which I think that the 30-year-olds would be millennials too. But that's another point.
Right.
And when I hear that, all I think, are you mad? Is you pressed, that little cheerleader girl? That's all I think. Right. Because a lot of people are actually upset? Mad that they sad? Didn't think of these things.
Right. Because I admired them for all their little quirks or whatever. I smile at some of the things they do. Plus, they value how they feel. We talked about in our show 100 about how do things make you feel. And it looks like they are centering with that. Because I'm starting to, you know, kind of focus my life on how do I want to feel. And I like the fact that a lot of them are actually tapping into that at such a young age.
Right. Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah, I do see people that get jealous of that about them. And I'm like, no, they're
all. Oh, they're just lazy. No, maybe they're working smarter. Maybe you're just mad because your ass took 17 years to get a four walls and a door when they're like, fuck it. I don't need
a door.
Exactly. Right. You know, I can do this from the coffee shop.
Exactly.
And there's no reward. Like, you know, these middle management people are pissed because, you know, there's not the reward they thought that they would achieve by the time or receive by the time that they turned 40 and got that door. It's not actually what it was all cracked up to be when they were 23.
Well, there isn't freedom in that.
No.
You know, they're heavy. A lot of older people who have stayed on that one particular path and climbed that ladder and climbed and climbed and climbed, and even may have had fleeting thoughts similar to Ruth, like, this isn't really what I, you know, think I want to do, but I'm supposed to, you know, climb this ladder. Well, by the time they get to the top, they're like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm. I agree. And those feelings of wanting to do something else don't necessarily go away. You know, at all. I have a good one. Actually, one of my line sisters, very well in corporate America. I won't give her company, but, you know, of the fly around in private jet variety. And when we were younger, she wanted to open a wine store. And she started taking the classes to become a sommelier. And sommelier is a wine expert. And another of our girlfriends who did not complete college also started taking that class and finished the class, started working at a wine store, then moved to another state with her child and, you know, very limited resources. And she is living her dream. Now, she doesn't necessarily have the corner office, but she's way happier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just way, way. Not to say that the girl who is in the corner office isn't happy, but there is still that longing. But I never hear the one who followed the dream saying, I wish I had gone into corporate America.
Yeah, it's something to be said about feeling like you're in your element.
Yeah. Speaking of which, and not really, just a segue. So today, I believe around 7 o'clock-ish, maybe a little bit earlier, the video of Laquan McDonald.
How the hell is that a segue?
It's not, but it's up on my computer screen, so you will deal. Laquan McDonald, 17, being shot by Officer Jason Van Dyke in Chicago. Now, a couple of things. This happened in, I don't know if it was October 2014 or 2015. I'm thinking it's actually 2014.
Yeah, because I need you to walk me through this because I hadn't heard about it until you said we were going to talk about it today.
So basically, an officer killed a black boy, shot him 16 times. Actually, it is October 20th, 2014. The video was never released. The officer, as they typically do, lied about what happened. The other officers, all those good police officers that y'all sleep with and are your daddies and your mamas, are not so good because they sit there and lie right along with their brothers and sisters in blue. You know, the cover up was huge. They erased, I believe, 86 minutes of footage from a Burger King surveillance video and was going to do nothing to this guy. And then the Cook County State's Attorney decided to go ahead and charge Jason Van Dyke. And I think she really only did that because the judge said that they had to release the video.
The video. So I'm looking at this article that you sent me. Sorry, I have a little bit of an echo. And it says that he fired 16 shots and other officers didn't fire at all, meaning that if I'm reading this correctly, there were other officers there that saw him shoot him 16 times.
Yeah. All your little good officers, all the good ones you guys love so much. He's been kicked off the payroll. And I also think part of their swift action was not just the video, not just what happened in Ferguson and in Baltimore, but the fact that they know for all on top of everything those people in Chicago got some guns, and not just the little local street thugs, because I'm from the Midwest. We have guns, law-abiding citizens. Oh, we got guns. We got rifles in the house. We got it all in our houses on casual, just casually sitting there.
So I'm also looking at this, and like we usually find out later on after these incidents occur, in 2013, a Hispanic man accused him and another officer of striking him during a traffic stop and laughing at him because he had hearing and speech impairments, claims that both officers, of course, denied. And then in 2011, a black man claimed that the officer had choked him and twisted his arm during a drunken driving arrest, which the officer denied. And then they say that the Independent Police Review Authority found that neither allegation had merit. And it's like when these things end up happening, when we dig beneath the surface, we always find that there's something else that's happened before that's just been allowed to go unchecked.
Yeah, this is like allowing your toddler to grow up eating candy indiscriminately whenever they feel like eating some damn candy. And then when they get 16, you decide to say, I'm not paying to get implants put in your mouth, so stop eating the candy. And you're shocked that they just like, I'm sorry, what now? And that's the way these police officers are acting, because for generations, they have been allowed, and I say they, including these so-called good ones y'all love to point to, who obviously are lying on these police reports to support their fellow officers.
Yeah, because if you have other officers at the scene that see this man discharge his weapon 16 times, like there's no reason to shoot anybody 16 times, like absolutely none. And then I'm looking, like, they're talking about how in Chicago that the Chicago police are frequently involved in shootings, including 15 from July to September of this year alone, but officers rarely face charges for firing their weapons. So basically they've been given carte blanche to just shoot a nigga.
Well, yeah, and plus, because, you know, anybody who gets shot in Chicago is obviously a savage who, you know, was going to just go off and kill somebody anyway.
Because that's what they want us to believe. So that when these things happen, then we're like, oh, well, it was Chicago, you know, so something had to have been, you know, whatever. That's
Yeah. So that's happening. And then we have the Black Lives Matter supporters who were shot in, oh my God, my mind is running a blank right now. Come on, help me. You don't know.
Yeah, because I haven't been on Twitter this week. It says Minneapolis. It happened in Minneapolis.
Yes. And video of that came out, eyewitnesses are speaking on that. And they say that the police were there in riot gear and mysteriously disappeared right before the shooting started.
Right before the shooting went down. Three in custody, one released in the 4th precinct shooting. And protesters, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, so that's what's happening. I don't know how many white listeners we have, or black listeners who believe that their little piece of education makes them immune to this type of treatment, but hopefully you guys will do your Googles and see that we're not making this up.
Mm-mm.
You know, we're just not making it up. So that's what's going on in the news. And obviously everybody's getting ready for Thanksgiving and Black Friday. So Joe, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Being with family, eating. I actually, I started trying to, you know, like how you try to, cause you know, this is the season where you start gaining weight and, you know, doing all that stuff cause of the eating. So I try to fast and, you know, detox and all of that before the holidays. Mm-hmm. But then earlier today, I ate an entire butter pound cake all by myself. So that tells me up front, like, what's about to go down.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I mean, it tasted good. I I have no regrets.
Okay, you're going to have some regrets when you step on that scale.
I have absolutely no regrets.
Mm-hmm. Step on the scale. Not that I'm fat shaming, but you know, when your clothes stop fitting,
that's why I'm wearing dresses. So I will not have any regrets because I won't have to button my pants. I'm going with all dresses until February.
See, my weight goes to my ass and my thighs, so I can't I can't play those games. My dresses won't fit either. Most of the ones I have, nope, because mine are like fitted dresses. You know, anyway, let's see what else is going on. Oh, okay. So when we didn't do a show last, well, we did the Being Mary Jane show that came out, I think, last week. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, this article or this quote had shimmied down my Facebook timeline. And I know I shouldn't be on Facebook because I'm not really an old auntie yet. So, well, I guess I can technically, but whatever. I shouldn't be there. But occasionally I see something that makes me go, we could talk about this on the show. So here goes. Lord. So there was this like Essence.com interview, I guess it was on, it's back from November 5th. Why is it so hard for Black women to find the love they deserve, by Charlie Penn. Now the quote that was shown, or the snippet that was posted on Facebook, was just a question and an answer, but it actually speaks to a discussion that I've heard a lot of people tiptoe around. So let me just tell you guys what it says.
Before you do that, can we talk about how Essence autoplays videos just for a quick minute?
Go ahead, speak. Give your testimony.
Essence, why do you autoplay videos on your site? Like, seriously, who does that? Like, that's MySpace, Tumblr bullshit. Like, you're supposed to be a quality publication. Let's not do that with the whole, and then you have the volume turned all the way up to the max. Like, cut that shit out. All right, that's it.
Okay, wow. A lot of feelings on that one.
Go ahead.
So the snippet, and let me just also paint a picture that this was posted by a man. So it said, do you feel black women and men are too particular when it comes to potential dating candidates? Fisher, who is the person being one of the people being interviewed or questioned in this exchange, is a matchmaker. And Fisher's answer was, we found that as opposed to the white clients that we've had, Black women are usually looking for physical attributes first. We look for someone who is attractive to us, and then we pick up on his hobbies, interests, and values. Whereas white clients are looking for the reverse first. What kind of job does he have? Is he going to be able to provide? Then they circle back. And when I tell you amen, I have sat with one girlfriend in particular. Ooh, he's so fine. Yeah, girl, but I assure you, when you go to his house, he got pink envelopes all over his kitchen table.
Yeah, pink envelopes. I'm like, what are pink envelopes? And then it clicked. I was like, oh my God.
Right. But I think to some degree it's true. I've never like heard, now all my white girlfriends are married, but I never heard them say a guy was so attractive in real life. Like, they might say the guy who played in what's the name of that show, the dark haired guy, Ham is his last name, dark haired.
Oh my God, I was thinking about it. I have so many white girlfriends, and I just thought about what you just said, and you're absolutely right.
Yeah, they don't.
I've never heard any of them say that. Not even that they were attracted to them, honestly. I said not even that they were attracted.
Exactly. Let me
ask the question. Are they socialized differently? Are they taught to seek mates differently?
They are socialized differently, but that's not to say that some of us are not socialized that way as well. And honestly, I think a lot of the socialization comes from fathers, not from mothers.
Okay.
Because if you have a father or some male figure in your life, he's going to talk bad about quote unquote lazy knuckleheads. If he is able to adequately provide for you, typically girls gravitate towards someone who reminds them of their father. And a man who can provide is usually very confident. Now, of course, we have those who know they can provide penis really well. And, you know, sometimes the best sex you get is from a guy who grew up poor, because that's really all they had to offer. But I think a lot of it does come from that. And I think that in our community, you are shamed for considering whether or not this man would be a good provider.
I think too, and I don't, because I'm thinking this off the cuff, I'm not sure how to quite say it, but I think that we're socialized to take care of ourselves more. So when looking for a mate, we're not, and actually provider aside, because I've seen a lot of my Black girlfriends date well-to-do men or men who were professionally, you know, whatever, who weren't generous. So it's the same. So it's the same thing. Is if you could date a broke dude who's giving you his last dollar, as opposed to, you know, the guy who's got, you know, 100K in the bank and he's like, yeah, I'm not giving you shit. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think that a lot of times we have been socialized to take care of ourselves first. And so that's not what's on our mind. We, you know, when we are actually dating. And I think on the flip side of that, when I, you know, think about some of my white girlfriends, even though most of the ones that I hang around, they're independent in their own right, but they're also, they also know when to turn that off, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. I had a, one of my line sisters, actually several of them are married to white men, but she, this is the first white guy she had ever dated. And they ended up getting married. They've got two kids. And she told me, they, I think they had been married when we were talking, maybe about 5-6 months, I guess. And she told me she would like want a purse or something. And she wasn't married. I mean, she wasn't working. She had stopped working once they got married. And she had to get her mind okay with going to get that purse. And he had to get her mind okay with that, because she was thinking, well, you know, how much money do we have? She initially couldn't accept that if he said, go buy yourself a purse, that he meant go buy yourself, a purse. He understood what type of nice stuff she liked. And when you say go for her to go buy her purse, she gonna spend $1,200 because that's just what she gonna do. And I know, I remember a relationship she had before that where she was with this guy and she did exactly that. And it was a, it was a huge issue. Now, this is a guy who I know for a fact, because his income has been published, could easily, if she, because she had started, she was working and they were living together, her $1,200 purse meant nothing. He was just a sub. He was just, he didn't, I don't know. I don't even know how to put it into words, but he made, they got into a really big argument about what she bought with her money. And it was, you know, she went to work every day.
And it, and he was concerned about what she was spending with her own money, was, which also means that on the flip side, going back to that generous part, was he generous with her at all?
He was generous in that he let her move into his house, barely knowing her.
Yeah, that's not necessarily, I mean, I let her move in, okay.
You know what it is? It's called creating a convenience for his ass.
I was just about to say, I mean, you got...
What'd you say?
I was just about to say that you got live-in booty, maybe somebody who's cooking and cleaning. I mean, that's not necessarily extending yourself. Because if he's as wealthy as you think, then, I mean, you know, that we think he is, then if he really, like, he can have her move into his house, but let's say he wants to do something else, he could also afford to have a condo in the city. When he's tired of dealing with her.
Yeah, well, he does have a big house in the city, but in DC City. But yeah, I mean, actually, you know, to that point, I was having a conversation with somebody this past weekend, and I told him that, because he's like, oh, I'm so thoughtful. I was, no, you're not thoughtful. You would attach me to things that you were already doing. It had nothing to do with what I liked.
Or things that make you look good for doing.
Exactly. And that's not being thoughtful. That's not being generous. You know, generous is, well, thoughtfully generous is doing things that some, that you know somebody else will enjoy that you may not necessarily get any benefit from. Any. But anyway, we're off track there. But yeah, it just struck me because, and then the guy who posted it was like, really, really? Who are you providing for, sweetie? Okay. All right. Because they're always the ones with so many little comments and
like
so many like
support arguments. Like they're taking $30 out of your check for child support, but you want to get on Twitter every time a child support argument comes up and talk about hoes to your
money. Listen, you making $110,000. You about to marry some girl who makes $85 and you want a prenup. Boy, sit down. Sit your ass down. Even if you were marrying a girl who was standing behind the counter at McDonald's, come on now. The money you spend, huh?
I'm actually looking at these questions. I'm actually looking at this article where it's like, do black women have realistic dating pool expectations? And then they say we have clients that have a long laundry list of requirements, 6'4" with a PhD, never been married, no children in his late 30s, early 40s. And a lot of times we ask them, well, what are you bringing to the table? And the answer is nowhere near all that. Oh, Jesus.
Right. Yeah, that's why I didn't read the whole article, you see.
Girl.
Because, I mean, really, another thing that I haven't heard.
And then the title is, Why Is It So Hard for Black Women to Find the Love They Deserve?
It's definitely clickbait. That's why I did not read the entire article, Soldier. Oh, you see, I focus
I'm
on
sorry.
five sections.
You gave it to me and with this damn autoplay video. I should have known when a video autoplayed that I should
It
have
is gonna be
closed
some
this shit.
bullshit. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean,
Oh, because they have a new kiss and tell dating series. Oh
oh,
God.
okay.
Okay, let me stop. Let me
There you
just
go. I didn't scroll down except to cut that damn what do you call it off?
keeps getting worse.
Oh yeah, it definitely get worse. I mean, like I said, it's certainly clickbait, but this really struck me because I had to think about, yeah, none of my white girlfriends ever prior to marrying their husbands said any. And then on the other side of that, I remember having conversation with two of them specifically, and they said their husbands didn't know how much money they made because it didn't matter.
Right,
And
right.
so when you look at this bringing stuff to the table thing, I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a damn minute. Because
Yeah.
these guys, I mean, well, neither of them work. One of them is overseas right now, and then the other one is up north. And she's the second one has a gang of kids, so she probably shouldn't work. But I'm like, well, okay. Those women, what did they bring to the table? That maybe they probably made their husbands feel good, made their lives easier, were a great companion. Those aren't things you can pay for. I mean, I guess you can buy a horse, but you know what I mean.
She's so stupid.
So yeah, so that happened. So for all of Ebony doing good covers, this is what Essence is over here doing. Is it Was it Ebony doing the good covers?
Yes, Ebony is doing the good covers.
Okay.
Speaking of which, the last cover, I know we don't have this on the show thing, but I did see people being upset on Facebook about the latest cover.
With the Black Power Fist and the
Yeah, with
hands up.
Jesse, was it Zendaya that was
Yeah.
on there, and
Well,
Harry
was she too light? Were
Belafonte?
they too light skinned to be on there? Is that what people were mad about?
Actually, I
Don't do this.
do.
Don't do this. Don't. Mm-mm.
I
I
did
wasn't
see.
ready. I was joking.
I know you were, but you know, you already know. You already know.
No, really? Were they mad at that?
I did see a couple of people talking about them being their lighter skin being, you know, that they were being pushed to the forefront, and then they start talking about what are the darker people behind the scenes.
Because you know what? So many of our good civil rights people, the most aggressive ones are light. And I mean, you know what? Oh, Malcolm shouldn't have got a movie because he was too light.
That's
I
why
mean,
they
come
were
on.
jealous. That's why
Shut
the
the fuck
nation,
up.
hey, listen.
I mean, could they list like five darker hued and how dark is dark enough to be considered dark enough to represent like black revolutionary
Don't even
ideas?
know. And it aren't the comments that I saw were on Facebook, where clearly those the people that are on Facebook aren't on Twitter, so they don't know about Jesse. Like when I think Jesse now, I don't think Jesse Jackson that comes to mind
Right.
first. I think Jesse Williams. I don't even associate him because I haven't watched Grey's Anatomy in like years. I don't even associate him with that. I associate with him as pop off Jesse. Like when some shit goes down, I'm like, what's Jesse gonna say? And not Jesse Jackson. So when people are seeing Jesse, you know, on the cover of Ebony, you know, as a revolutionary, I'm sure they're like, what?
But you know what? What's shocking to me is that nobody has demanded that he be taken off of television.
Right. Right. Cause you know, and you know, it's funny how sometimes you see people who shrink to fit because they're afraid of what will happen for me professionally if I do
Right.
this. And that's the one thing that I admire about him, that it's been on his heart so much that he's pre because he gotta walk in. Think about it. Even though he's employed by Shonda, he still got to walk in because Grace is, I mean, it's a whole bunch of white folks on that mm-hmm. cast. So he still got to walk in mm-hmm. and work with those folks every day after he done popped off, you know, on social media. So, I mean, you know, that's one of the things that I respect about him is that he's like, this is how I feel. This is what's going down. And we're going to dig, you know, into this.
And somewhere the guy who used the F word is pissed. Oh, he's so pissed. What was his name?
Isaiah Washington. Isaiah Washington. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's why I love Jesse. And Jesse breaks it down with facts. That's the other thing too.
He comes across
emotionally. He's very calm, even tempered, and he's like bam, 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 bam.
Wasn't he a teacher prior to becoming an actor?
I don't know what he was because I didn't even pay attention to him, like not even on Grey's. Twitter is what made me actually start paying attention to him.
Yeah, me too. I don't watch Grey's after that pick me, choose me scene.
Pick me, choose me, love that just, me.
It just grated on my entire nerve. Like, are you freaking kidding me?
Plus that annoying chick killed Danny.
Oh, I don't remember all that. I do remember that the dark haired, taller chick who was a lesbian is actually a lot smaller in real life. I was around her through some fluke of life.
Talking about the Hispanic one?
Yeah, the Hispanic one.
And I think she's back to men on the show now.
Oh, wow. Is she
versatile? I don't know. I think so. I think I saw somebody say that. I don't know. Shonda just be doing so much.
Shonda does. She tries it. She tries it on every turn. I'm almost to enough of her. I'm almost there. She almost got me rethinking my undying support.
Shonda, she loses me. She always loses me. And then I'll try to go back. I was off Scandal until this season came back. And I'm enjoying this season.
Such trash.
Oh, and speaking of friend of the show, Kelsey Scott Soar, who was on our 12 Years a Slave. Did we name the episode 12 Years a Slave? I can't even remember.
I don't know.
But she was on the show. She's actually joining the cast of How to Get Away with Murder. So mm-hmm. I guess I should have saved that to Cheers, but I just wanted to throw that in since we were talking about Shonda and stuff. So if y'all, you know, heard that show, maybe we need to release that show or whatever. Because she was talking about acting and being in the business and her fears and all that stuff. So that might be a show we might want to re-release.
Yeah, I don't know if it's on the list of the ones that get tweeted out.
Yeah, but I know it's not on Podomatic anymore, so we're going to have to redo that one.
Is it on YouTube, maybe?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. We just got to. Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah, so we got to check YouTube because, she's there. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we use the tag as well. Her name as a tag.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Anything else? I do have one or two other things we can touch on. We have a little bit more time. So, for a lot of our shows, one of the things that sort of sticks in my craw about a lot of our shows is we talk about these personality traits that can help people, particularly women, win in life. And the question always gets posed, can these things be taught or how are they taught? And so today I was listening to, what was I listening to? Combat Jack, who had, and I'm sorry for my eyes, I'm actually also taking notes because I'm sure a certain other person is not taking any tags.
I just typed Combat Jack, thank you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he had his latest show has Tristan Walker from Bevel, or I think it's the Walker Company or something like that. But Bevel is the razors and, you know, everybody gives discounts and stuff for that. Two things. One, Tristan said that the advertising through podcasts is working better than other forms of advertising for him. So I am pretty sure he means black podcasts.
Uh-huh.
That's first. And second, he talked about when he went to Stanford Business School, how he took a class called Acting with Power. And I won't go through everything that he said, but essentially, you know, these confident behaviors and ways of playing the game can be taught. And Stanford does it in a graduate school course. And I don't know if they still have this course because he was in school a bit ago. But it was just interesting. If you guys Google Acting with Power, You can find, a summary of it from a guy called Jason Shin. Mm-hmm. And then you can also find a YouTube video about some of it from Deborah Gruenfeld, and we'll have their names in the show notes. But it was good to me. I'm going to look a little bit. I didn't have time today at work, but I'm going to look a little bit more into Deborah Gruenfeld and see if I can get some more information, just so that when we say, you know, learn these behaviors, that we can point you guys to very specific resources.
Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, people always, like you were saying, don't believe that these things can be taught. I'm not going to say always, but I have heard people say that these things can't be taught, but I totally disagree. And I'm glad, you know, that we have this article, because I actually see a lot of people using the same mannerisms, using the same, you know, types of things that let you, that show you that you can, mm-hmm. if you choose to.
Yeah,
but looking at, they're talking about the two main ways of interacting with another person, playing mm-hmm. high versus playing low.
Yep, and playing high and playing low, those are terms that I've heard before, but nobody really ever fleshed it out as effectively and efficiently as Dude did in this article.
Mm-hmm.
Playing high is about creating a psychological distance between you and the other person. It establishes a sense of authority over the other person in the interaction. Playing low is about creating psychological closeness between you and the other person. It makes the other person feel that you are approachable. But what was interesting is that when we get down to characteristics of playing low, it is a lot of things that women are taught to do. Speaking haltingly with short sentences that are more like fragments, taking up less space by shrinking, crouching, and pointing your toes in, avoiding eye contact when addressing someone except briefly to check in, speaking with higher pitched voices, which we know, we've seen in lots of studies how, you know, they say Black women, we have lower voices. Shouting to try and win an argument because it shows that you have more stake, also something that women are expected to do. Touching the face and trying to protect the body while acting, playing high is speaking at a slower pace in full sentences, keeping the head very still, making longer than usual eye contact with someone when you're talking to them, not showing visible reactions to other people's comments, making expansive gestures, and leaning back. So basically, all those high playing characteristics remind me of almost every corporate jackass that I know, and sometimes myself. But
the other thing too is that the guy also talked about the importance of knowing when to play high and when to
play
low. Because if you're always playing low, people can mistake you as being weak, but sometimes playing that low part can be the Kaiser Soze move when, you know, when you're drawing people in and having them underestimate you only to flip the script on them, you know, in a minute. And he talks about like if people are introducing you as being like this great, you know, whatever kind of fancy schmancy, you know, whatever. And so people have this automatic thing where they're going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't come up to him. And then you're playing low, like making yourself approachable and drawing those people into you. You know, that's mm-hmm. a moment where you play low. And then, you know, playing high may be, okay, this is the time when I need to be authoritative and, you know, do whatever. And it's also teaching people how to go shift between those two dynamics. And that's the thing that I like about it, you know, his article too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Things. So I definitely want, it's the set of webinar, I definitely want to watch it.
Yes, he but, did.
Yeah, we it's might. Been, yeah, we'll put this article in the show notes.
Yeah, I was pleased. There were so many things that I was pleased about, and I will say this: Combat Jack does really good interviews. At least the ones that I have listened to, they are really good. He lets people sort of just tell their story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there may be some areas where he's trying to flesh out a narrative, but if the person is smart enough and they are firm in their own narrative, he lets them just continue down that road.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to get, you know, if he's talking, asking questions, and it happened in this interview. So, you know, it felt like to me as I was listening that he was trying to lead Tristan down the path to say, oh, I was this knucklehead. I was on the way to being a crack dealer or whatever, before I got into this school. And Tristan was like, no, the worst thing I probably did was, you know, do spitballs at the board and stuff like that. No. I'm not going to be the savage Negro who had to be civilized by being sent to some white school. No, that wasn't me. Even though I was in projects.
That wasn't my ministry. I said that wasn't my ministry.
That's not everybody. That's not every black person's ministry. That's not. So let's see. See how unprepared we are. And by we, I mean me and Sojo.
Oh, whoa. Don't pull me into your bullshit shenanigans.
Oh, you're in it. Don't pull me into your bullshit shenanigans. Oh, yeah. You gravitate towards it. So there's that. Okay.
That's how the devil do.
Is that? Because I'm not familiar with the devil. I don't know.
Devil is a liar.
I let the record reflect. I didn't call the cops on Jesus. So I don't know the devil. That's some devilish stuff.
You're playing low. You're playing low right now. Mm. You're not doing a power pose. You're playing low.
No, but we'll come back to the... There's a phrase a blogger has used before, Monica Mingo, Rantings of a Creole Princess, I think her blog is. Pretty girl tax. And when you talked about playing low, I particularly remember a time when, it was about a year ago actually, when I was around some Moo Moo Cow Cows, and I don't say that because they were big, I say that because they weren't fly. And I think I was expected to play low. And I just played me?
No. Go back to what you did. You just say some Moo Moo Cow Cows?
Some Moo Moo Cow Cows, yeah. Swamp Donkeys.
I hate you so much.
I didn't make this up. I'm not going to take credit for those. I mean, I thought those are terms people had heard.
Oh, my gosh. Continue. And,
no, I'm just saying. And I don't know that I was playing big, but I wasn't making a conscious effort to play low. And maybe they had been around, like they were going to make me pay for that, I suppose. And that goes back to her whole idea about the pretty girl tax, is that if you are halfway attractive.
So what do you mean, huh? They were going to make you pay?
We're not going to get into that.
Oh, I think I remember this story. Never mind. Gotcha.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Which, you know, that's
I remember this story.
But, you know, she has talked about, you know, this idea that if you are an attractive woman, people are going to assume a lot of things about you. And there are some times when acting low can benefit you and cut off that tax and stop that tax, because people don't know how to respond. Like they see that you're attractive, so they expect you to be big and confident, whatever. And if you turn your toes in and sit there and you're like, sometimes that works, or it can backfire, because then if you're playing low, then you're too good for them. So, you know, I bring all that up to say that there are some times where no matter which one of these you choose, it's just going to backfire if people are already against you.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. I think about Beyonce when you talk about that, because sometimes she plays high and sometimes she plays low. And no matter what she does, somebody's always going to have something to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I've seen her like in certain, you know, in certain situations. You know, now that I'm thinking about it and looking in terms of this article, I've seen her dial herself back a little bit to kind of play low, to seem approachable, to, you know, do, you know, whatever. And then I've seen her when she's like, fuck this, you know, she's going to power pose it out. And so no matter what she's doing, there is this certain, you know, energy that just she can't get a break no matter what she does from a certain group of people. Yeah. And so that's a situation where it goes to the inner confidence too. No matter where you're playing high, playing low, doing this whole, you know, thing or whatever, you also have to have the inner confidence to go with whichever role you're playing.
Yeah. And accept also that, yeah, because some of your real personality is going to come out in either situation. I am typically, I take up a lot of space. Let's just say that. And I'm not a big person, but somehow I manage to like take up the entire desk and somebody else is supposed to be sharing it with me.
You think you're 5'11 in your head. So you stretch your legs like you're 5'11.
And that is true. That is absolutely true. Because
our heart is so short.
No, we don't do that.
Yes, we are.
No. It's not that I'm short. I have a short torso that stops me from being my true height, which is 5'10".
Where is your head? Right, I was just about to say, it's all about where your head ends. Like, where does your head end?
Okay, now we're off track. Let's get back on track. Where can the people find you? What are you doing?
Oh, Jesus. You guys can find... Wait, cheers. Okay, two cheers. My first cheers goes to, friend of the show, Kelsey Scott. I was trying to find that show of hers. I'll try to find it before we sign off. But also, I did want to give cheers to listener. I forget what we used to call our people who were like long, always regular listeners, and especially for the live shows and stuff, Hustle Crow, who is now Hustle Crow Senior. Yes, he is Hustle Crow Senior officially now. So did want to give cheers to him because that baby is beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. So, but you guys can find me on Twitter at SOJOXOXO. My webpage is sojoxo.me. That's sojoxo.me. And I'm also going to tell you guys where you can find Lady Buddha. She is at NDC Harp. That's at NDC Harp, like the instrument harp. And her website is cocostudio.com. So definitely go hit her up on Twitter. Send her some love. Tell her to stop being obnoxious too. You know, y'all can say, hey, Sojo said you're being obnoxious and using a lot of exclamation points, and see what she says, see if she cusses me out. But that's it.
All right. I'd like the audience and Lady Buddha to know that I had no part in that. My cheers goes to Judge Tanya Walton Pratt, who is the first African-American federal judge in the state of Indiana. She is a proud HBCU graduate, Spelman. She's also a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. Ooh. And she is the judge who sentenced Jared Fogle's ass to 15 years in prison.
Ooh. Wow.
So shout out to her for doing so much for people.
Yes.
And for those of you guys who don't know or have been under rock, Jared Fogle is Mr. Subway sandwich guy who was like molested, or no, he had like, he was a child in the child porn, asked the person he knew if he could like tape their kid. He was just disgusting.
He just really ended up being like just
gross.
And the thing, didn't it come out about him like spill the tea that he actually started off trying to do porn in college? Like, it's like his shit went way back.
Well, like, he was like the blockbuster of porn in college in his university. Yeah. So, I mean, and the thing is, I'm going to go ahead and say this. When he was of the bigger variety and his older pictures, he does look super creepy. I mean, he looked creepy and sweaty, and like he sits at parks after school. He didn't look like that guy. And don't act like y'all don't know that guy. Y'all know that guy. He is going up the river, and hopefully he has to serve every single day, and maybe he'll get into some fights in jail and they'll add some more time on.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I hope he's in gym pop, because
And he's got to get in some fights and add some more time and get caught with a cell phone and all the other things. You can get extra time added on, and I'll be happily okay with that, because fuck Jared.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So, and let's see, did we give the show?
Wait, before you do that, I did find the show that Kelsey was on. It's episode 44, Pride and Privilege. We still have that YouTube video up if you guys want to search for that. But I definitely see us re-releasing that show.
Okay.
In the near future. But it is episode 44, Pride and Privilege.
Excellent. You can find our show on Twitter at Whiskey Wine Moon. We also have a website, Whiskey Wine and Moonshine. Basically, if you Google those three words together in that order, you will come upon us. If you're listening
to an event in the country where you might not want to end up.
What?
A Google alert came up for Whiskey Wine and Moonshine for like some crazy ass party. Look for the three black chicks. Yeah, look for the three black chicks.
Yeah, so we don't want to publicize that part. Oh, did we want to shout out our new sponsor? Are we doing that yet?
Sure. Or we can wait.
Okay, we'll wait. We'll wait because we don't have to do it today. But yeah, we got some new sponsorships, some new stuff coming along, and it'll be coming along January 1st, apparently.
Get ready.
And so for those of you who are interested in this thing that's going to happen January 1st and want more information about it, you can just drop us a tweet or an email and we'll add you guys to the list so that our sponsor will notify you when it pops off. And I'm being so cryptic, but whatever.
It's great. It's going to be so epic, though. So y'all definitely want to, you know, like if you want to get the update, then hit us up. Let us know.
Yes. And my personal Twitter is at think_P_smart. So not only can you hit us all up on Twitter, you can hit us up on the website. You should leave 5-star reviews on every possible way you can. I mean, log into iTunes and leave one under your name, then log in under your mama name, because you know she don't know her password. So you might as well log in there and give us a 5-star review under her name as well. Okay. What? What's so funny? I'm so
nothing.
Dead right
now. Nothing.
Well, anyway, so we're gonna go ahead and get out of here. We have. Oh no, I'm not gonna say it. All right. So yeah, Sojo. Cheers.
Cheers.
Sweet love.